and it's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Bureau, and I'm joined today by three guests who are going to talk about the Imagine 2040 plan, which is geared toward the next phase in strategic planning for downtown La Crosse and how to keep that area thriving and moving in the direction that it needs to move. Joining us today are Mayor Tim Cabot of La Crosse, Councilwoman Chris Kahlo, and also Chris is the co-chair of La Crosse Downtown Neighborhood Association. The other co-chair of the La Crosse Downtown Neighborhood Association is Courtney Locken, and all of them are joining us today. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So let's start. I want to give each of you just a chance to talk about just your perceptions of the current state of downtown La Crosse. Since Chris and Courtney are involved in the Neighborhood Association there, maybe let's start with Courtney and then we can talk to Chris. What's your impression, Courtney, about the current state of downtown?
I think we are fortunate in downtown La Crosse to have a lot of people who are very committed to ensuring that not only are we responding to the crisis that we're living through in the short term, but that we're still thinking long term about the ways that we would like to see our downtown stabilized, our neighborhood stabilized for the long term as well.
Chris, what about you? When you think of how downtown La Crosse looks right now, what comes to mind as some high points?
What I think we all know, the impacts that COVID has had in our commercial district are pretty staggering. But what I see coming out of that is opportunity for change and growth and kind of create some more stability in the future. And I think this downtown plan too includes the residential core neighborhoods. And I think those core neighborhoods will be important in kind of helping bolster and balance the economic value of the whole downtown and the whole region.
Mayor Cabot, when people think of downtown La Crosse, they are thinking of driving down 5th Street, 4th Street, 3rd Street, visiting the shops and other kinds of establishments there. What do you think of when you look at the current goings on in downtown La Crosse? What are the high points for you?
Well, it's really a reflection of our community. I mean, we are blessed with having, I would argue, the best downtown in Wisconsin, if not the larger region. And the reasons why are pretty clear. I think Courtney touched on that. It's because our community loves downtown and wants to see it succeed. And we are so fortunate that we have so many locally owned businesses and entrepreneurs who are still heavily invested in our downtown, which really is a reflection on our community. And if you think about and it's been that way for hundreds of years. I mean, the history there is pretty remarkable. Even before there were white European settlers, you know, downtown La Crosse was the place to be in this region. So to have that continue, and what I really think about is, it's hopefulness for the future. La Crosse is a very resilient community. I mean, we went through several decades ago when the change in retail went from small shops to big box or to the mall, and downtown went through a very, stressful time, and the community pulled together and has created the downtown that we experience today. In some ways, we're revisiting those stresses because of what COVID-19 has done and the challenges to our small businesses and our community to think about how do we have this vibrancy and continue all of the great things with a bit of a different perspective now and looking at the public health and the changes that have to come. So my big impression is just the awesomeness of our downtown and the hopefulness of what the next several years will mean.
Mayor Cabot, you talked about the plight of downtown as different retail trends have come and gone over the years, and now we're seeing shopping malls having a really tough time existing. During the heyday of the malls, you had downtown La Crosse having a difficult time. My very first job, other than slinging La Crosse Tribunes around my neighborhood, was at Allen's Hallmark downtown in the early 90s. And I remember the owner of that store having many conversations with us about the meetings that he was going to and the conversations that he was having with people about how to make sure downtown even just survives as a place of commerce. How rewarding is it to kind of see the work of those previous generations of people in La Crosse, the efforts that they have undertaken to make sure that now downtown is not so much a question of its survival, but its continued thriving?
I think you hit on a very key point in the fact that our downtown is the way it is right now because of those investments and those decisions and that community support from decades ago. You know, you think about the various generations of redevelopment and the community coming together with the original city vision plan back in the late 1980s to start to identify the steps that were needed to make downtown and to recreate downtown in some cases. And I see this legacy of the 2040 plan and the efforts that our steering committee are going through right now with our staff and with the consultants and our community to identify these next steps and what do we need to do to make sure that in 2040, you know, the people that are part of the community at that time can look back and appreciate the investments and those decisions that folks are making today. So I think we've got, you know, again, I go back time and again to the notion of our downtown is the place to be because our community wants it that way. And our community has really made decisions and supported local merchants when, you know, the pressures of a couple of clicks on your phone or on the laptop and ordering something from a multi-gazillion dollar entity that'll mail it right to your doorstep is pretty enticing. And yet our downtown continues to reinvent and figure out ways to stay competitive. And I think, you know, that's what the steering committee is looking at. I know the challenges with retail office is another one where, you know, we have a vast majority of our office inventory, if you will, in the downtown. And what does it mean if people are going to do more working from home? So the challenges are great, and they might be the greatest that we've experienced yet. And I know with knowing who the steering committee members are, I know they're up to the task, and I look forward to their recommendations coming forward.
Chris, you're not only on the city council, but you're involved with the Downtown Neighborhood Association as well. And with those kinds of dual roles, what are you looking for in terms of a plan for the future of downtown?
I think there's so many levels to that question. So I, you know, to try to make it brief, I think what this plan needs to do, in my mind, is incentivize or cultivate incremental development and also at the neighborhood level to allow for creativity and innovation. And even in the commercial district, that's what's going to move this downtown forward, is allowing for that creativity, that adaptability, that innovation. What that's going to take at the city level, and what we have done, was some rapid deregulation with allowing street cafes and allowing curbside pickup. And there was some work with the police department on pausing some parking tickets. So I think the city understands what needs to be done in the future with helping downtown La Crosse, the commercial and residential, get kind of back on its feet and moving forward. But we need to create that downtown that is a core for people. It needs to be made for people, not automobiles. It needs to be full of parks and open space and green space and people living there and loving it.
When I was growing up, it didn't occur to me so much that downtown was a residential area. It was someplace that we went to go shopping or to go to a basketball game or something like that. But you mentioned, Chris, the residents of downtown and making it a friendly place for them to be able to walk about and to be out in public. Courtney, as you're thinking about this plan going forward, how difficult is it to balance the various needs of either commuters who come in to work downtown or people who treat downtown as more of a retail and entertainment district versus, maybe not versus, but in addition to people who live downtown and consider that area their home.
You know, Ezra, I think that those of us who choose to live downtown recognize that we're living in a space that serves a variety of uses. And balancing those can at times be a little tricky, and there can be some competition between uses. But I think generally speaking, when we prioritize the livability of our downtown, that alone supports all of those other uses as well. So those of us who are living in the downtown can provide a sense of stability, both at the economic level and I think in terms of using what sometimes are our tourist attractions. We use those things kind of regularly in our day-to-day lives, whether it's our parks or our restaurants, you know, taking walks through our artist's alley. Those types of things for us are just regular routine activities, things that we enjoy, reasons why we live down there. So I don't think we're in competition. I don't think it's difficult to balance, but I do think that we need to always be keeping in mind that downtown is a space that requires diverse uses to be healthy and requires sort of this holistic, multifaceted response in order to maintain a really usable, safe, welcoming, and comfortable space for everyone.
That's Courtney Locken with La Crosse Downtown Neighborhood Association. Chris Kahlo joins us as well, a La Crosse City Council person and the co-chair of Downtown La Crosse Neighborhood Association. Also on with us this morning is Mayor Tim Cabot of La Crosse, and I'm grateful for all of them. Our conversation continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Bureau. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're talking about Imagine 2040, the next strategic phase for downtown La Crosse. And I want to talk about the plan and the process itself during this portion of our conversation. We've been visiting with Courtney Locken and Christine Kahlo, who are involved in the La Crosse Downtown Neighborhood Association, and Mayor Tim Cabot. Courtney, let me start with you in this part of the conversation. Talk about all of the different steps that you've gone through and over what period of time to put this plan together. This is not some fly-by-night little project. This is a real undertaking, isn't it?
Let me try to summarize that a little bit, Ezra. You know, we formed last winter just before COVID hit, and our steering committee members had to have some tough conversations about how to proceed in this climate and whether or not we wanted to put together a plan for 2040 amidst such a significant crisis for our community. And we all pretty unanimously agreed that it was vital for us to continue on this path during this time and make sure that we included in our mission with the plan, focus on some short-term resilience strategies to try and save our community and keep our businesses strong and make sure that we were prepared to grow in the short term out of this pandemic, but also, again, as I mentioned earlier, stay focused on some of those long-term capabilities. And I think we all recognized that having been through what, you know, everything that was brought to us in 2020, our long-term strategies are going to be really important for ensuring that La Crosse is adapting to the changes that are inevitable following kind of a post-COVID situation. So we formed and had some meetings as a steering committee, just talking about the things that we were interested in. We hired our consulting team after a series of interviews. And from there, the consulting team has been leading us through the work of engaging the public. And so really the majority of the work that was done over the summer and into early fall was public engagement. And so we had a number of small group conversations similar to this, all in a virtual format, where folks from our community were invited to discuss different topics and give their feedback. We've also had a survey active throughout this process that individuals could take. We've had a website where folks can go in and plot a spot on a map and present an idea that they might have for that part of the neighborhood or the boundaries of this plan, which, as Councilmember Kahlo mentioned, extends into the neighborhood surrounding downtown. So we've just been gathering as much public feedback as possible from those, not just those serving on our committee by any means, but really from as many people as possible. And so right now our consulting team is working on putting together a draft of the plan, and they'll continue to get feedback on the draft of that plan. But I know we put together some major themes for the plan, which are things like a vibrant neighborhood, connections not only to nature and to each other, but also from our neighborhoods into downtown. So some actual, you know, usable, walkable, bikeable connections, that type of thing. So we're really fleshing out some great themes. And I'm excited to see the final draft put together and to start to get more community feedback on that draft and see how realistic some of these ideas are for creating a stable downtown into the future.
What's the timeline on when that might be released for people to see?
I might look to Councilmember Kalo to see if she knows the timeline better. Most recently, it looks like hopefully the document would be available for review by February. But that's still kind of changing because with this climate that we're in, we had to push our timeline back a little bit already just because things are different.
Everything is different. I mean, in every walk of life, there's nothing untouched by the pandemic and everything involved in it. Chris Kalo, Councilmember Chris Kalo, does that sound about right to you, what Courtney said, maybe February?
I think that's correct. I think, you know, what she did say, this is kind of fluid and changing and evolving. A draft is going to be just a draft, and then there will be comments on that. And then the full plan will go to the council for adoption. And I think that was set for March, but these are all tentative and they're moving targets. So, you know, even in this planning process, the consultants and the steering committee has had to be very flexible and adaptable as well. So yeah, we're not on track for where we started, but we have known from the beginning that we would need to have that flexibility.
Mayor Cabot, how important is a document like this in setting agendas for your administration?
It's absolutely critical. And I go back to the original, City Vision plan from the late 1980s, which started the course and the several iterations of that. And now this set of recommendations looking forward to 2040, it is absolutely critical for how we make our, not only just the city investments, and those are very substantial. You're talking millions of dollars when it comes to infrastructure and parks and levies and all those types of things, but also for the private sector to know where the priorities are, the goals that the community has set to really keep the investment and those things moving forward. And that's one of the great things about downtown, again, just being representative of our larger region, the combination of employment and tax base and investment, that downtown represents, but it's also, as others have said, it's a place where people live and they enjoy the open space and the trails and just all of those things and what it means to live in a great community. So without having a plan, you are really pulled and pushed and moved in many different directions. A plan helps you to establish that broader vision and then those goals, and it helps you to then get to, get down to business and making those key investments. And I think about the millions of dollars that the city has expended, and that would not have made sense or been possible without having plans in place to help direct that.
When you think about the economic impact, the economic activity that goes on downtown, retail, industry, everything that's going on down there, how big a piece of the city's economic impact is downtown?
It's significant. I mean, you look at the downtown plan will identify and help people to better understand, when it comes to the percent of tax base and retail and office space and, again, all of those investments, what downtown represents. It's a very significant portion. It is an area that definitely generates more revenues and and activity, you know, than what it takes or you know, than what it needs as far as services. So it is a producer of activity that benefits then the entire community, and I would say the larger region, even communities outside of La Crosse, having that investment and having those things happen. So you can point to any statistic, whether it's the amount of retail expenditures, or in the case of the changes from 2010 to 2020, you know, how much new housing growth. So much of that has happened in the downtown. And again, it just keeps driving all of the good things. And that's why we are blessed with the downtown that we have and the people that came before us. And obviously our time here now as stewards to keep that going. And that's why, again, I get excited by the group and what they're looking at and just their ideas of how do we, you know, what comes next and how do we address that, because of the challenges are great. I mean, it's, you know, the studies show it's so much easier to develop in a greenfield location and to, you know, the American model of people living in a detached house and they get in their car and they drive by themselves and they, you know, go to work and those types of things. I mean, that's been our national strategy and investments for many years. When you really look at, though, the success having a place like downtown where you have a mix of uses, you have all those opportunities for interaction and people to get together, not only for commerce, but for culture and for, you know, just making our community stronger. Downtown is where so much of that happens.
Chris Kahlo of the City Council and also the La Crosse Downtown Neighborhood Association, you all have likely been involved in conversations about either this specific project or some of the goals that might have been talked about in putting this project together. Are there any interesting ideas that you've heard that reached out and kind of grabbed your attention?
Well, there are a lot of ideas thrown out so far, Ezra, and none are concrete yet. I think some of the things that I've seen that are exciting are more in the residential area of this downtown plan, what I would call those kind of core neighborhoods such as Washburn, and the downtown and the old Goose Town. Some of the ideas for some redevelopment and neighborhood planning, I think, are really exciting to see. And I think some really good things will come out of that. And I'm saying that because I want to thank the mayor who appointed this diverse and amazing steering committee. You know, it is made up of these people because the mayor had the foresight to put them on. And I want to thank Courtney Locken because she has been great, both as the neighborhood chair and on the steering committee. So it's that mix of really good people that have been put together who are bringing out and inspiring everyone. So I think there have been some great ideas like living walls and connections between areas in this neighborhood, connecting green spaces and parks. So I'm looking forward to some of that. We'll see a lot more coming out once the draft is released.
Courtney, what about you? Not to give away any spoilers or anything like this, but have there been any ideas that kind of grabbed you and made you think, yeah, this is something we need to be thinking about?
Off the top of my head, one of the first ideas that I'm most excited about is some efforts to suggest ways that we can better improve bike access through the city. So creating some north-south bicycle corridors closer to downtown for safety, as well as trying to connect the bicycle pathways that are south of downtown to those that are north of downtown. And I don't remember the name that we're using for that. Again, all of these things tend to be slightly fluid in how they change and evolve through conversation, but we're, you know, trying to imagine ways that we could better utilize the riverfront south of the Cass Street Bridge and bring a safer kind of bicycle thoroughfare from south to north and, you know, connecting our hospitals to our neighborhoods downtown and to the commercial downtown, again, not only through driving, but through foot traffic and especially through bicycle traffic. So that's been exciting. Our planners and the consultants talk a lot about building out some neighborhood nodes Which I'm, you know, not being a city planner, it can be intimidating to start to try to talk about some of these ideas. But what I'm gathering from these ideas of neighborhood nodes is just kind of creating these defining spaces that set apart each distinct area of our downtown and our neighborhoods, and almost fostering gathering spaces and sort of common spaces for people, as well as those connection points for bicycles and traffic as well. So other ideas, wow. I mean, there's just so many. There's lots of talk about ways to improve traffic through downtown so that we can have a little bit more comfortable pedestrian environment, finding ways to maintain those outdoor cafes in ways that are going to be really exciting for, you know, I think fostering a vibrant culture downtown as well. So I'll have to keep thinking. There's many.
You mentioned the outdoor cafes and making downtown more pedestrian friendly. And Mayor Cabot, I think that anybody who's ever been downtown would acknowledge that it can be a difficult proposition already trying to find someplace to park down there. So how do you go about making an area more with more spaces for, you know, some of the outdoor cafe opportunities? Or some more bike-friendly streets, pedestrian-friendly streets, when some of these efforts are likely to cut into already limited parking situations?
Well, I think one of the key areas that the plan talks about, and I know that this has been a goal now for decades, is to encourage more housing and more residents to live downtown. We hear that all the time from our merchants, especially those locally owned stores, that having more residents close by is really a captive market when it comes then to restaurants and bars and specialty shops and what we see downtown. So I think the plan's focus on, and Chris and others mentioned the old Goose Town and the 9th and 10th Street corridors and some of these areas where we have opportunities to just grow the amount of housing and the people that live close by. That in itself is a very good and sound strategy to help grow the outdoor cafes and more stores and more retail, because there's just more people that will be coming downtown. I think the other piece of that is the ongoing perception. And in my prior life before being mayor, working with Downtown Main Street and talking about parking and really the perceptions of the fact that we do have ample parking in the downtown. We have, we've done, any number of studies and updates that identify the great inventory that we have in our parking ramps. And even there are certainly, some streets in the core where parking is at a premium and there's not a lot of spaces. They change over every 2 hours, but the sharing the knowledge about that parking and the easy convenience that we have in an area where people can come downtown, park their car in a ramp for free for 3 hours, do a lot of their shopping and dining and those things. And those are all investments that the city has made over the years to help encourage that. So I think the parking issues and turning more of the streets and those connections to make it safer for pedestrians and bicycles is exactly what we should be doing, because, La Crosse was here before there were cars, and it'll be here much long into the future, and we'll have different technologies and ways for people to get around. So I think it's smart to focus on the people aspect and making it safe. If a street is safe for somebody to walk, it's going to be safe for bicycles and for people to drive and for buses and everything else. So that's really, I think, again, a key feature of this plan in trying to identify where those opportunities are.
Mayor Tim Cabot of La Crosse also joining us today, Councilwoman Chris Kahlo, and Courtney Locken of the Downtown La Crosse Neighborhood Association. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to hear a previous episode or stream part of this conversation on demand, you can find it at our website. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. If on-the-go audio is more your style, you can find us in many of your favorite podcasting apps. Just search for Newsmakers and hit subscribe. We would appreciate it very much. Conversation continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall, joined today by Mayor Tim Cabot, Councilwoman Chris Kahlo, and Courtney Locken, and we're talking about the Imagine 2040 plan. It's a plan that the public will get a look at in the next couple of months and have the opportunity to weigh in, and it's the strategic plan, the next phase of the strategic plan for downtown La Crosse, and we've been talking about it this hour on Newsmakers. And Mayor Cabot, you're in an interesting position, having been mayor for a little while now. You've announced you're not running for re-election. You'll be leaving office in a few months. So as you are kind of getting ready to hand the baton to a yet unknown administration, what are your hopes for what a plan like this might look like and what needs to be accomplished?
Well, I'm very appreciative of the work that the steering committee has done. And I know, again, based on the folks that have been involved and the work that they've done, and then, you know, the community input to this point, and then obviously once drafts get shared, I am fully confident that there will be some very good recommendations for how we move our downtown forward. It's been the case since the original City Vision Plan was developed, and I have no doubt in my mind that this will continue into 2040. And you know, one bit of advice I would have for whoever is the next mayor is, you know, if they're smart, they're going to take that plan and run with it and try to work on implementing those recommendations when it comes to, especially on the public investments, on open space and making the streets and areas just, you know, more conducive and safe and trying to work on that quality of life. So that's what I would suggest for the next administration, because if they do that, they will be successful. And the beauty of, especially from an elected official standpoint, is that you've got, you know, overwhelming community input and support on those ideas. So it's not something that you have to create on your own or be at a difference with the public. I mean, this is, again, our downtown is great because our community loves it and wants to see it succeed.
So I want to talk, we've been talking about the procedure of doing the Imagine 2020 report. We've been talking about the policy and the economic impact and all of these things, but the success of any community is the personal experiences that people have there. I want to give each of you an opportunity. And maybe we can pick on Chris Kahlo first, City Councilwoman Chris Kahlo. What's a favorite memory of downtown? I don't know if you grew up in the area and were there as a child, or how long you've been living in that particular part of the city. But what's a favorite memory when you think of downtown La Crosse?
Well, Ezra, I came to La Crosse in the late 70s and 79 as a college student. But I have owned a home in this downtown area since 1990. I had a business downtown beginning in 1993, so 27 years. So I've been in this neighborhood for quite a while. I think what is a common thread through this conversation has been people. The people create the great cities. Their entrepreneurial spirit, their innovation, the people downtown. And I would say my greatest memory would be a night of an election back in 1998, when an organization that I was a member of, Livable Neighborhoods, had a referendum opposing a road through the River Marsh that would have come downtown through 6th and 7th Street, and that was defeated. But we had an event downtown at a local business that night And it was probably the most joyous, happiest memory I will ever have is when a small group of people, really changed the course of the city. We would have that road right now. And I think our downtown and our neighborhood would look a lot different. So it really is about good people, good neighborhood level planning, and then the city listening to those people.
Courtney, what about you? When you think of downtown La Crosse, I know you mentioned you live downtown. What's a memory that comes to mind? What do you like about downtown as a just personally?
Well, I did grow up in the area. I actually grew up in Holman, but spent a lot of my time in downtown La Crosse for different activities, everything from girl choir to ballet, you name it. I was downtown helping build the skate park in high school. That was a project I was part of. I moved away for some time for college and graduate school. I lived in Omaha, Nebraska. I then lived in Chicago for some time until my daughter was born. And that's when we decided to move back to the La Crosse area and specifically to downtown. We knew early on in our house search that we wanted to maintain that walkable, more urban lifestyle that we had grown accustomed to in Chicago. And so when we found our home, it was a no-brainer. It was points of interest on a map. And, I think many of my favorite, most kind of special memories in downtown are rather benign on the surface. They include casual, spontaneous trips walking a block over to the Main Street Public Library, or spending time at the YMCA with my kids in the Family Fun Center, or early morning walks with my son where we go to the New Burns Park or to Cameron Park, or stop into Jules for a coffee and a smoothie, walking through Artist Alley. They're all these just really benign but very special memories that are so easy and at our fingertips, but again, just have this, I think, really lasting impact on our children. So it's just a great space where downtown becomes sort of your second home. The library is like a second living room almost for us at times. So it's really comfortable and people know us, and it almost has like a family feel. We feel like the librarians are an extension of family, as are our wonderful neighbors. So
Mayor Cabot, any memories sticking out to you about downtown?
Well, my favorite is every summer staying with my grandma and my brother and I. It was the big deal. She would take us on the bus downtown, and then we would, go to Coney Island, and there was a couple other stores to do a little bit of shopping, and Osco Drug and a couple places. So that was always like a big deal because to ride the bus and go downtown was no better than, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's always a favorite memory for me. And then just having that come when my kids were young, going to Coney Island and doing those similar things. That it's just, those are, as I think it was exactly right. The people aspect, that comment, I think really, it's all about the people. And again, it goes back to why we have a great downtown is because our people love it and want to do whatever we can to make sure it's a success.
I told you my very first job was downtown at Allen's Hallmark. Later in life, I delivered pizzas at Happy Joe's at their last La Crosse location, which was downtown. And I remember I got to go into some of these really fancy new at the time, 25 years ago, apartments that were being built. But I also got to go into every other apartment above every single bar in the city. And I saw a side of the city that I didn't knew existed as a child. And it was just so interesting to be able to see these little corners of our town that go unnoticed by so many people. You pass the storefront that's downstairs completely unaware that two stories up, three stories up, there are 15 apartments with people living in them. So it was an interesting experience for me. As we think about the plan coming out, public input coming out, I know it's unknown exactly when the draft is going to be available, hopefully sometime in February. What opportunities will be available for public comment after that point? Courtney?
Yeah, I don't know. Once the draft is out, I don't know the timeline for how long there will be opportunities for public engagement, but from what I understood, that draft should be available on the website, and there will be ways to interact there and give some feedback. I'm not sure if there will be more one-on-one conversations or small group conversations. Some of that is still just to be determined based on the climate that we're navigating. So hopefully at least, I would imagine at least a month for feedback, but I can't say for certain at this time.
That's Courtney Locken with the Downtown La Crosse Neighborhood Association. We're also talking with Chris Kahlo with that organization, as well as a city council person, and Mayor Tim Cabot. And our conversation will wrap up in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to find the show online, it's at WPR.org/newsmakers. Back in just a moment. Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse Bureau, and I'm joined today by Mayor Tim Cabot, Chris Kahlo, City Council person and the co-chair of Downtown La Crosse Neighborhood Association, and Courtney Locken, the other co-chair of the Neighborhood Association. And we've been talking about Imagine 2040, a plan that is forthcoming about Downtown La Crosse, and hopefully will take the area, the downtown area in La Crosse through the next 20 years of its existence. We've talked about the economic value of the downtown area to the city. We've alluded several times to the effect COVID-19 has had on our businesses downtown. I want to give an opportunity to talk a little bit about how the business community downtown has had to adapt and how whether you think those adaptations might result in lasting change for downtown. Chris, let's start with you and talk about how businesses, you mentioned you were a business owner downtown for a long time. How have small businesses downtown had to adapt to COVID-19?
Well, I think the businesses are continually adapting right now on a daily and weekly basis. I would say that it has been quite a struggle for business, but as I said before, the city has helped a lot in some of that rapid deregulation that allowed those street cafes. And I think that there was a want and a desire for that pre-COVID, but this was an opportunity to push this forward quickly. And I think what we've seen, the comments from business owners who have had those street cafes, they're very appreciative, and they really want to see that continued forward. And I think that the council will probably make that permanent as well once we roll into the springtime. So I think that's really exciting and an innovative kind of adaptable way to change and to keep those businesses viable. There will be a lot of changes, and I'm going to say we probably will lose quite a few of our most beloved businesses, but I think that is the way of the world. Things change, businesses close, new businesses come in and take their place. I think cities, great cities, survive under great distress due to their entrepreneurial spirit and their innovation if they're allowed. So I think this city council, and I'm hoping that the next mayor, I'm sad to see we won't have Mayor Cabot because he fully understands, but I'm hoping the next mayor will work with the council in making sure that we can kind of push and support that entrepreneurial spirit and innovation. And some of these ideas that haven't been brought up yet that are out of the box will be accepted. And we can see some exciting new opportunities and businesses downtown.
We've been talking about the impact of COVID-19 on businesses. And I think a big impact has been bars and restaurants being limited in capacity and those things that make it really hard to survive. Does having been through this pandemic experience, Courtney, we'll start with you on this one. Maybe how do you think living through this pandemic experience changes, adjusts, alters the goals of the group putting together recommendations for the future?
You know, in many ways, I think having gone through this, not that any of us are you know, are grateful that this has happened. But anytime that you encounter adversity like this, it opens up just an entire new world of opportunity for growth. And I think those of us serving on the steering committee are growth-minded individuals who see this as as the perfect time for lacrosse to embrace new ideas, get extra creative, as Chris said, really advocate for being innovative in order to create a tough, resilient, strong downtown that's going to be able to adjust again when the inevitable next adversity comes our way. So, you know, I think the 60s and 70s were really tough on downtowns with the suburbanization of America. And we've been kind of having a resurgence from that over the last couple decades. And I think we're going to continue that momentum. I don't see, and I know I'm off topic from your question a little bit, but I don't see our downtown floundering terribly from this. And if anything, I think the commitment of people in our city is going to mean that we're going to grow even more beyond this adversity. And I'm hopeful that people may look to lacrosse as a place to set down some new roots and see this as a great smaller city where you can still have that urban lifestyle and a lot of culture, but also have the access to the bluffs and the trails and the river. You know, I think we have so much room for growth here in lacrosse, and it's been hard, and it's important to acknowledge the pain, and there's going to be losses, but this is a great chance for us to get creative and think outside the box and really adjust our goals. So we're not, you know, I think we're fortunate as a steering committee putting together this plan with our community to be able to just have the world at our fingertips, really. You know, we're not as limited as I think we would have been in setting some goals and in building some visions without the pandemic. So there's some positives there.
20 years can seem like a long time to be looking out, and yet it passes really quickly. Mayor Cabot, before we end our conversation today, I'm wondering what you see as you're leaving office as the biggest challenge facing the downtown area in lacrosse.
Well, I think the more opportunity, as both Chris and Courtney have talked about, that the, you know, in some ways the pandemic with forcing us to look at our regulations and allowing for more, you know, use of the outdoor and using parking spaces for outdoor seating and those kinds of things, I think that's been very positive. You know, the biggest challenge, I think we, no matter what it is, I think for us, because we have a community that is has a goal of having a vibrant downtown, we will be able to address any of those challenges. And I think the, you know, some of the things that I look at because of office space, especially, and we have so many people that work downtown, just what is the future for that, and having the flexibility in those buildings to be able to kind of switch from office to housing to something else, maybe as more and more people have, you know, we've been doing this working from home and these virtual meetings now. And I think we're all looking forward to getting back to more in-person activity, but I think there's always going to still be some element of this new way we do things. And so to have buildings, especially because we have such an incredible building stock, to have the flexibility, and that's going to require investments that will require city assistance as people redo buildings to, you know, change from an office environment to more housing and other types of uses. So I think that's, you know, the challenge is always the resource, but and needing more resource, but because we've prioritized the downtown, we find those resources, and I think that's, you know, I'm hopeful that will continue.
Lacrosse Mayor Tim Cabot, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Courtney Locken is the co-chair of the Lacrosse Downtown Neighborhood Association. Courtney, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Chris Kahlo is the co-chair of the Lacrosse Downtown Neighborhood Association, and Chris is a city council person in Lacrosse. Chris, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ezra.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. There are a couple of times each week to hear Newsmakers. You can catch our original broadcast on the Ideas Network 90.3 at 10 a.m. on Fridays. You can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. on WLSU 88.9. And then if you're up early on Saturday, it's 5 a.m. for that early call time for newsmakers on WLSU 88.9. I'm Ezra Wall for Dawn Jewell and John Davis and the rest of the La Crosse crew. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio.